It's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with U.S. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, a Democrat in office since 2013. The last time you were on the Congressional Corner, Senator, we were talking about your efforts to combat loneliness. And the other day, I was reading this op-ed you wrote about the levels of unhappiness in the U.S. You say that issue can be tied to bad public policy choices. First of all, what do we mean by unhappiness?
Well, we, you know, regularly ask Americans how they're feeling. There are surveys done in this country and other country to sort of understand, you know, are people feeling good about their lives? Do they consider themselves most days happy people? Generally, the United States is ranked as one of the happiest nations in the world. In most of these global surveys, we show up as one of the top 10 happiest nations, and for good reasons, of course. We're the greatest nation in the world. People here have the opportunity to achieve things that, you know, people only dream of in other countries. But there was a real worrying sign in this year's Global Happiness Report. The United States dropped for the first time out of the top 20, and it mirrors other reports on American levels of happiness that show in the last several years a dramatic decline, especially for young people. Of course, that's hard to understand for some because unemployment is going down, crime is going down, economic growth is going up, inflation is under control. If you look at the typical quality of life indicators, things in the United States are pretty good today. So why are people feeling so unhappy? That's the question that I'm asking right now, and I'm, you know, working with a lot of my other colleagues to ask that question, because I worry that we have been so hyper-focused on kind of economic data and economic policy that we've missed what really makes people happy. For instance, connection. What makes a lot of people the happiest is having meaningful and fulfilling relationships. And that's a lot harder today, in part because of public policy choices we've made. You know, a good example, an easy example, is, you know, our refusal to regulate social media. Social media has, you know, addicted our young people, and I think has led to them being very, very unhappy with their lives. So I really think we need to talk about happiness, why so many more Americans are unhappy today than any time before, and whether the things we're working on in Washington are actually directly connected to making people feel good about their lives.
So this is obviously a very difficult issue to turn around. Do you have any ideas about how to do so?
Well, again, if you look at so we have a set of data that tells us that people are feeling less happy in the United States. But then we have a lot of data about what makes people happy. Harvard has this seminal 75-year study in which they sort of track people, you know, of all different backgrounds and incomes, asking them, you know, intermittently throughout their lives, are you happy, and sort of what's happening in your lives? And so they produce this report to sort of show the people that are happiest in that giant group over a 75-year period of time, and what's unique about their lives, different from those who report being less happy. And what they show is that there's really very little correlation between career success, income, and happiness. There are people in that survey who have good careers who are happy and unhappy, people who have very little money who are happy and unhappy. What matters most in the Harvard study is relationships. The people who have really stable and important relationships, the people who have more friends, are the people who are happier. And so we think as a government that we're making people happy by delivering them economic success. And there's no doubt there's some correlation there. But maybe we should be focused on trying to set people up for more social success. That's not something government can do easily, but there are definitely conversations we could have to allow people to be in a position to have more positive relationships that we're not having right now.
Are the UConn basketball teams making you happy right now?
They are. And you know what? I mean, part of the genius of sports, right, is that it is something that brings us together. So I've been following both UConn and the men and the women who are heading to the Final Four. It's something that brings me together with my friends. You know, I went up to Boston to see the UConn men Elite Eight game with three of my friends and, you know, went out to get drinks beforehand. So sports is, you know, something that brings us a lot of joy, in part because it's one of the things that brings us together. together if you're on a sports team or if you're following a sports team. So it's a great example of a place where you find connection and friends. But yes, I am pretty fired up about the both UConn teams and their prospects for winning another double championship.
What about your own prospects to win a re-election this year? How are you feeling right now?
You know, I'm hopeful that people in Connecticut will give me another shot at this job. I've obviously really enjoyed it. I think I've become better at the job over the years. In the last few, you know, years, I've been central to some of these major bipartisan negotiations around guns or immigration or democracy, and I want to keep that work going. I want to be somebody, you know, into the future who's part of the glue in the Senate. You know, I have convictions, I have things I care about, but I think my real job is to get things done, and hopefully I've shown an ability to do that in the last few years. So, I'm not running much of a big public campaign at this point. Hopefully my work will speak for itself as we head into the fall, and I hope that I'm lucky enough to get the job for another term.
Do you agree with the ratings experts who say that Republicans are likely to win control of the Senate this year? It's a tough run of seats for the Democrats to hold on to.
I don't. That's what the ratings experts said about 2022. We had to be perfect in 2022. Democrats had to win every competitive race, and we did. We won every competitive race, in part because, you know, people look at the modern Republican Party and just say, there's nothing there for me. This is a party that is dysfunctional, they're divisive, they're hateful, they're trying to roll back women's rights, they seem to use government as just a mechanism to enrich their, you know, corporate and billionaire friends. I'm not saying the Democratic Party is perfect, but, you know, if you put us in power, we're going to protect women's reproductive rights. We're going to pass tax cuts for, you know, middle class folks. We're going to protect the environment. And we're just going to be a lot more civil and nice to each other, which I think is part of what people want to see from government these days.
So how about the race for the White House? President Biden obviously has some challenges ahead of him as he runs for another term. What's the case that you're making about Democrats retaining control of the White House?
Well, first, I just point to Joe Biden's effectiveness. I mean, we would not have passed that gun bill in 2022 without President Biden's leadership. We have the lowest unemployment rate in the history of the country, the longest stretch of low unemployment in the history of the country. That's because of Joe Biden's economic leadership. But I also think people need to understand the stakes. If Donald Trump wins, it's likely that there will be a national abortion ban. Not a single woman in this country will be able to get an abortion. That would be a disaster. If Donald Trump wins, I think democracy is really at risk. I think he has a plan to try to convert American democracy to something very different. Joe Biden is going to reform democracy to make it work, better. And then when it comes to economics, Trump did only one thing when he was president of any consequence. It was a massive tax cut for billionaires and corporations. What Joe Biden has done is to lower prescription drug costs, to give tax cuts to working families, to rebuild factories all across the country. I just think the difference between those two guys is pretty significant. And I think when people see that, Joe Biden will come out on top.
Senator Chris Murphy is a Democrat from Connecticut in office since 2013 after serving in the U.S. House, and he's been on this show for ages and ages. We're so grateful that you come back to the Congressional Corner, Senator. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ian.